Mr. Godwin, Reel 5. We were talking about your time when you went to HMS Collingwood in June 1942. You wanted to say a bit more about the marking of the kit.
Well, we all had to stay in a camp until all kit was marked. That was with these wooden stamps and numbers. And, as I say, the only thing that wasn't marked by us was our hat boxes, which was punched on a brass plate. Well, that took somewhere around about a week. But during that, because we could only do it in the evening, because we was training square bashing during the day.
Now, what would a typical day be like at HMS Collingwood? What time would you start?
Well, we usually started somewhere around about 8:45, 9 o'clock. Like, breakfast was up to 8 o'clock, and that gave us time to go back to our huts.
Now, tell me about the food. Let's talk about the food. What did you think of the Navy food?
As far as the food was concerned, it was pretty good.
What might you get for breakfast, lunch, tea? What would you get?
You had a chance of egg and sausages. Sometimes you had boiled fish. You got all the various meals, like for breakfast, egg, bacon, sausage, etc. And as I say, boiled fish. There was also cereals. At lunchtime, you always got the meal of the day, which was a very good meal. It could be mincemeat, it could be beef, anything. You got a reasonably good meal, and you also had a sweet, etc. after, tea afterwards.
What would you get for tea itself later on, afternoon tea?
At 4 o'clock, like we used to have a stand-easy, but we never had time to have tea. It was more or less a stand-easy, have a smoke if you smoked. And then you, at 4 o'clock, that's when training finished, and you went for tea. Well, usually for the tea time, you got some bread and jam or something like that. Well, then come 6 o'clock, you've got an evening meal. That usually was somewhere similar to what you got lunchtime.
So a full meal again?
It was a full meal again. So basically you was looking at 4 meals a day.
And so you had plenty of food?
Oh, plenty of food.
And the quality?
And the quality was good. All right, some of the lads, it never affected me, but some of the lads, it wasn't enough for them. They'd go to the nephew and buy another meal. But that only lasted so long until their money was running out.
Right, well, so what, after breakfast, we'll go back into the day. After breakfast, what sessions might you have in the morning?
Well, every morning at 9 o'clock, there was always a race over the rigging. There was a 30-foot rigging. But she was at the far end of the parade ground. And this parade ground was what? You're looking at 150 yards.
Was that once a week or once a day?
Once a day.
Because it's once a week in your memory. That's wrong.
No,
is it?
There is one where you got once a week. But once every morning, you stampeded for 150 yards and then climbed the rigging 30 foot high over the top, down the other side, and back to where you started. Now, I used to run for Balkin, the Balkin schools, so I was very athletic in them days. Trouble was, I was always first back. I was always first over the rigging. And it got noted. So my name was put down by the PTI.
For what?
A PTI, that's a physical training instructor. Well, once a week, we had to run over this rigging with our gas mask on.
I see.
You see? So, that was usually on a Friday. And this was happening, the same was happening on this Friday, every time I went over with a gas mask, the same as what was happening all the week. I was getting back first. I was never out of breath or anything else. And I was nominated champion of the yacht. Well, that gave me a little bit of confidence, I think, as a young lad. I was willing with the boys in the yacht.
Now, what about the rest of the training in the morning? Well, did you have drill?
After that, we had square bashing.
Tell me about drill, square bashing. What did you think of it?
It was marching. All learning how to keep in step. All learning how to keep in line. And then you get eyes right or eyes left. And you had to still keep in line on eyes right or eyes left, whichever happened. Always making sure you kept the same distance from the chap next to you, which was arm's length. That didn't give me a problem, because me being one of the smallest in the yacht, I was the first row, so I had no one in front that had followed me. Well, you got that for about a fortnight. Well, you did have that right through the 10 weeks training.
Did you understand the point of it at the time?
Oh, Christ, yeah, discipline. Discipline was the entire thing, that you done what you was told and not what you liked. Once we got the evening, once we finished all the training for the day.
Hang on, let's go through some more training. What about PT itself? I know you're about the rigging rest. What about other physical training?
You did have that once a week. And that was usually on the Friday when you had this gas mask run. That was on the parallel bars and everything else. Rope climbing. You got all that. Everything to do with physical training. Over the vault, everything that was going on, and everyone had to do it, no matter how big or how small. Well, I was okay, I was all right for that, but some of the fatter ones, they couldn't master some of it. But
what about seamanship class? What were you learning?
You got very little seamanship in the first couple of weeks. They just give you a brief outline. You had a seamanship manual, and all they were saying is, study it. But that did come later, whereby you really had to go to town. But after all this square bashing and physical training and everything, you had to... They now put you into a gunnery and all. They added gunnery on top of what you're doing. So you now got square bashing, PT, over the rigging and gunnery.
You started that sort of in a way before you started seamanship then?
Oh yeah. Well, you just getting brief outlines of seamanship.
Tell me about the gunnery training then.
Well, the gunnery training was, you went to another section because it was a gunnery section. And when you went in there, your first problem was you all had to learn what the different guns were, rifles, revolvers, and ship's guns. you had that for about 3 days, because you only went in the afternoon for this gunnery section, because you had to do your square bashing in the morning. Well, that lasted during the afternoons until it finished on a day. Well, then we had that for about 3 weeks, but before that all finished, instead of square bashing of the morning, after about a fortnight of the gunnery, you now got into seamanship, whereby it was all knots. You had to learn all the knots. You had to learn how to do a knot, splicing, everything appertaining to rope work. And also, all right, we call them ropes, but today they call them wires. That was the wire springs, but they was called ropes in the Navy. That was the steel ones. And you had to learn how to splice eyelets. Then they give you a test on that after about a fortnight. And you had to pass all this You had to do all the knots, bowlines, everything. Splicing. And anything appertaining, serving and everything else. You also got sail making when you done knots, rope work. You had to do a bit of sail making. Well, that was all right. I didn't mind that. Well, from there...
Hang on, can we just ask you a bit about the discipline? Because you've made a few remarks about discipline. What was the discipline like? And I know you fell foul with it, with gambling, but tell us about the discipline.
Well, the discipline, you weren't allowed to do anything other than what you were told, which was very hard, because you've got to remember, we was all boys, and we did things what we wanted in civvy life, but now we're ordered to do what we didn't want to do. And you couldn't question what they told you, whether it was right or wrong. Many things I thought, that's wrong. But you couldn't turn around and say, excuse me, Skipper, that's wrong. And because you would be put on the carpet. You couldn't contradict what they said. So no matter how wrong they were right. You were wrong. And that did get under a lot of the boys' noses, because they all spotted several things that was wrong, and they couldn't say nothing about it. And we just grin and bear it, every one of them. But you weren't allowed to walk across a parade ground. If you had to go from one side of the parade ground to the other, you either walked round, or, even though no one was on the parade ground, you had to run across. You weren't allowed to walk across. You had to run. But you could walk round, and walking round was a long way round. But it was easier to run across, such as from where I was situated in a division I was, four top, the sick bay was right over there on the other corner. We was one corner, they was the other corner. And if we wanted to go sick bay, if you was ill, walk round. But if you could make it, run across. That was the only, there was always somebody watching you. No matter where you went. You could not drop a match on anywhere throughout the camp. You couldn't drop a cigarette end throughout the camp. You put them in your pocket until you got back and bumped them. If you got caught, you was for the high jump. And they didn't hesitate to put you on punishment.
You were caught, your hut was caught gambling. Tell us about that.
Well, that happened when, as I say, I gained me confidence with the boys when I was made runner of the camp. We was in the up one night, and, all right, I was like everyone else, I liked a little flutter. So we all sat round one bed, one bunk, and it was underneath mine. There we were, all playing cards, and our money was going in the kitty just the same. Several of the lads had won, and we were still playing. All of a sudden, Anne came through with three brass buttons on. Chief Petty Officer. He was a duty Chief Petty Officer. Don't move any of you. He picked up all the money, even what we had in front of us, he picked it all up, cards and all. And he took the name of everyone who was there, playing or whether they were playing or not, they was involved. We was all taken down the division office, and we was all put on a charge. We had to appear in front of the lieutenant next morning. He goes in front of the lieutenant. First thing was, all of us, we couldn't say we weren't gambling because they pinched all our money. And a piece of cards. All of us, there was about 16 of us, all got what they call number 11s. Number 11s started the next morning. Well, it started that evening. At 5 o'clock, that was after tea, we all had to muster outside the guard room. We all picked up a rifle, all had to rifle a shooters, and we had to march up the parade ground, carrying a rifle above our heads. When we got to the parade ground, we got on the parade, and we had to double round the parade ground. That went on for about an hour, with a rifle above our, above our heads. Well, then we was all had to march back, and some of us, our arms were getting, and then told to push them up, back to the guard room, to hand our rifles in. Well, then we was taken up to the parade ground, and was dismissed so that we can go and have a clean-up ready for supper. But come next morning, 5 o'clock, just before five, the boatswain's mate used to come up and shake us. Get up. Now, you had to be in full uniform other than your collar. You had to have boots on, out on, full uniform. The only thing minus was the collar. And you weren't allowed to put the collar on and chuck it in, because they checked it every morning. Now, down the guard room you had to be for 5 o'clock. Don't make no difference what the weather was like, dark or light. All marched up to the parade ground. All had to form a single file. Now, we had to go from one side of the parade ground. We've all got a little bag. One side of the parade ground, right across the parade ground, picking up every little bit of litter that was on the parade ground and on the roadside. Well, that took us up to about 6 o'clock. Then we go down, and we've now got to start all again. Once we've gone across the parade ground, they only wanted somebody, and some of the POs used to do it, and some of the senior ratings who were training. They would walk across the parade ground, drop a cigarette, So we had to come all the way back, picking up all the bits and pieces again. And anyone who come back with an empty bag, he was given extra session of duty. Well, by the time we finished, you've come up, and it's pretty close to breakfast time. You've got about half hour to get back to your hut, have a wash, have a shave, if you had to have a shave. Well, I didn't shave at that time. Put your collar on, get down to breakfast. Well, some of us just about made breakfast, because at 8:15, finished. There was no grub. So if you never got there by 8:15, you've had it. Well, at 8:30, you had to get out the canteen, because you had to be on duty on the parade ground 8:45. Well, then when it came up to lunchtime, we had our dinner, back down the guard house, get down the guard house. There we are again, across the parade ground, square bashing, you name it, we had it. There wasn't a thing they missed out. Then they decide, okay, you're going back again at 1:30, you're going back on training again. So, all right, you joined the class, went back on training. Whether it be gunnery, seamanship, whatever, you had it. Well, then it came up, you got 5 o'clock again, and you got the same old routine with the rifles again. But you had to muster last thing at night, 2200 hours, 10 o'clock. That was to ensure that you were still in the camp. But what they did do was to make sure you were still in the camp. They used to put some of us on guard duty. That was walking around the perimeter of the camp with a rifle. And yet, there was a particular hut, like each hut of each throughout the division, used to do the guard duty, but you was extra guards. That used to knock you up, because you had that till 10 o'clock. They never give you time to even write a letter home. As I say, we had 14 days of that. But it still worked out that This was going on for quite a while.
Now, you had a trick to get out of it. Tell us that story.
Well, it wasn't a trick. It wasn't a trick. It was a question of three other divisions. There was Chatham, Shotley, and Devon, and Portsmouth. They were challenging for the cup. And that was a rig, what they called a rigging cup. I was nominated as a sailor. Of course, I was nominated the number one runner in our division. And I had to go and challenge, on the parade ground, I had to challenge other shipmates from other divisions, like the quarter deck division, etc. And I came in first again. Well, I was nominated to go to Shotley, that was at Ganges, to represent Portsmouth. And I turned around and said to the PTI, I said, look, I'm sorry, I'm on punishment. I says, and it's knocking hell out of me. I said, therefore, I says, I think you should pick somebody else to represent Portsmouth. I can't do it. So next morning, I was roped in, up in front of the Commodore. I still had about 4 or 5 days to do. So the Commodore says, well, why can't you do it? I said, well, I'm on number 11, punishment. I says, and it's knocking hell out of me. I says, I'd be no good to you for doing this for Portsmouth. He said, we'll cancel your punishment. I said, sorry, sir. I don't want it. I want to complete my punishment the same with my shipmates, with the other lads. We're all in this together. Well, he turned round and instructed the PI to, the PTI. He's to come off punishment. I want you to give him extra training and build up. But I refused to come off the punishment. Come dinner time, or 5 o'clock at night, I went back down to the guard room to pick up my rifle. I was immediately told, get back. I'm no longer on punishment. I said, no, I'll do my punishment the same as the rest of the lads. But they let me do the punishment that night, running around with a rifle. But no one woke me up at 5 o'clock next morning. And when I went down the guard room at 10 o'clock to report that I was still in the camp, what are you doing down here? I said, I'm reporting. But my name had been taken off the list. But the PTI the next morning, what I did was, they're out going over the rigging. I thought, well, there's only one way out of this. Don't come in first. So I slowed up. Instead of me reaching the rigging first, somebody else reached it. I reached about third or fourth, and I went up the rigging slow. I dived over the top slow. And I come down and more or less staggered back. So I come back pretty close to last. PTI says, what is it? I said, I'm knackered. I said, I can't do it. But at the finish, they brought out all the fast blokes of the divisions. And they put me in. I thought, well, I'm not going to let you blokes beat me. Of course, it now had a big challenge. So I just put my skates on, and I went out for it.
This is at Ganges, is it?
I did beat them.
What do you remember of going to Ganges for that race?
Well, when we was taken down to Ganges, was their rigging is a mast, whereas ours was one long rigging, you all went up over it together. But at Ganges, it was a mast, and it was only two riggings up, two riggings down. Like it was up and over. But you're looking now 60 feet.
It was a lot taller than.
Oh, twice as high as this. But as you went up the Ganges rigging, whereas it's wide at the bottom, it narrows as it gets to the top. So three could get on the bottom and go up, but if two gets up first, to get to the top, because only one can get to the top. and then you got onto the yardarm. Well, once you got on the yardarm, you stood up, and then you had to come down on the other side. Well, the biggest challenge I had was from Devonport, Plymouth. Chatham was no problem, nor was Ganges, and yet they trained on it. Plymouth was the worst one. He was a very fast chap. And it ended up, he beat all his competitors, and I beat all mine. But us two was pretty equal. So it's now come to a stage, we had a day's break, and the PCI was with me, and the Commodore from Collingwood. They're feeding me up on the evening, giving me a real good supper, even giving me a pint of beer. And it was a final. It was Plymouth against Portsmouth. Well, it started off, and this was going to take place at 10 o'clock the following morning. And it started off, we was on a starting line. But the starter, he was halfway down the track before you reached the rigging to fire the gun. Well, I just set myself, I never crouched down to kick off. I was always able to go from a standing start. And I'm standing there ready to start off, just getting ready to start off. But this Devon bloke, he crouched down. And as soon as they called out, get ready, stand by, he broke the line. I hadn't moved. So it was a full start from the word go. He done this twice and they warned him. You do that again, you are disqualified. And they would have had to have brought in Chatham. So, he made sure he never got off for a good start. And when we did, by the time we did get off, I was way down the track. Of course, he's making sure he's not going to make a full start again. I was way down the track. Didn't take me long for the rigging. In fact, I got to the top. I didn't have to, but I turned round and I saluted with no hat on. I went down and come back the other side. When I got back, the old man was shaking my hand. His PTI was giving me a cuddle. That's it, he said. We'd never won that cup since before the war. He said, we've got it back. Well, they took me to the mess. They gave me a few drinks. And I was given a weekend's leave. I thought, God, what am I going to do? I've got to go home for this weekend.